You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
In this episode, it's the Pedro Pascal Stan Show. We're going to fangirl about Pedro Pascal for 20 to 30 minutes. Yay.
Yay. I have to manually fade out now because we don't know when it's going to end. I don't know when it's going to end. And if I don't know, you certainly don't know. So let's go ahead and cut it off.
Did you fade yourself also?
I did.
That's why you're so quiet now. We can barely hear you.
Oh, no. No, you can hear me. You can hear me. Maybe that's your problem.
I can hear you. This is fine. Hi, everybody. I'm Travis.
Hey, everybody. This is Brandon. Thank you for joining us today on this episode of Apathetic Enthusiasm. I am Brandon. That's Travis. And this is Apathetic Enthusiasm. It's a show where Brandon, me, and Travis, he, talk about things pop culture related. Sometimes we talk about other things not pop culture related. But usually we take those topics and we bring them into the show, Apathetic Enthusiasm, which is this show. And I'm Brandon, and that's Travis, who hasn't said anything in a while, not since he's introduced himself as... Okay, anyway, I'm done.
Hi, everybody. And now you know what the show's all about. Thank you for being here. If you're new and you'd like to follow us on the social internet, you could definitely do that. You could follow us on Twitter at Apathusiast. I am at Chogomino. He is at Barnyard Cruise. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/apatheticenthusiasmshow, or you can send us an email, apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com. We're also on Instagram at apathetic_enthusiasm. You can find this show and the rest of our podcasts over at apatheticenthusiasm.com. We are currently streaming live on Twitch, twitch.tv/apatheticenthusiasm. Trying to do that Monday nights. That's the usual rotation. We're finally back on Mondays. Things are great. Things are exactly as they should be. But if you're busy on a Monday night, I don't know, maybe you and your friends play some sort of fantasy role-playing game or something. I don't know what you do on Monday nights. But if you miss the stream, you can always go to youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm, where you can catch video versions of the podcast. And then finally, big thank you to all of the patrons over at patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Trying to give some other behind the scenes about shows in development. And I have a plan for some more video content as well. So if you want to check that out, head over to patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. That's it. That's the show. Thanks for listening. Until next time.
Travis.
That's not the show. We have fun.
We have such fun. We are just cracking up over here. My extended joke. Oh, and everyone's laughing out there. You were cracking up. We just have so much fun here on Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Yeah, it's the best. How's your life, Brandon? How many miles did you run this week?
Life is good. I ran 2 miles this week so far.
So many miles.
Starting on Sunday, I ran 2 miles. I had some extra time to. Saturday. I ran Saturday. And I was gonna run today because I had some extra time. I was gonna go get a pee test for, you know, a little drug testing
for employment.
And then it turns out me actually calling the place, they're like, we don't do it right now. We only do it in the mornings. So I'm like, oh, it's a good thing I called. And so instead of utilizing my free time to then run, I utilize my free time to not do anything productive.
Oh, good. Good. One thing about taking a pee test in the morning is if you're not sufficiently hydrated, it could be potentially very dark liquid in that container. Oh. So make sure you're drinking that water. Tell you what, a time or two, I have been literally embarrassed by the color. And you're like, you go talk to the nurse or whatever, and you're like, listen, I mean, I enjoy coffee in the morning. That's the reality of things.
I
do drink water.
I honestly thought
between you and me, I want you to look me in the eyes and realize that this isn't always the way this looks.
I honestly thought you were going to say You got to be careful going in the mornings because that's when the drugs really are concentrated in your, yeah, in your pee.
It's concentrated drug matter.
Yeah. You know this, Travis, because we've been through this, not together necessarily, but in time. I don't know if you've been a pee test monitor, but I have been a pee test monitor, and part of that excitement is like having to like see all the different colors of the rainbow and being like, and like the awkwardness. Like, it's just like, man,
like, do people have Skittles coming out? What are you talking
yeah
about?
Like, you know, there's different shades of yellow, you know, there's clear, oh, there's light yellow, there's dark yellow, there's the red, you know, the dark as, red.
The blood red.
And I say, sir, yeah, I don't think this is a water issue. This might be something completely different.
I think you need to see a doctor. Well, good luck. I hope you study hard, yeah, and you pass your test.
Do my best.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Thanks.
Getting a couple miles in. Good for you. Good. Proud of that.
Mm-hmm.
My legs don't hurt right now, so I'll just leave it at that. I feel good.
That's good. That's good. Because they don't hurt right now because you've been running a lot, but you've also been doing shock therapy on yes, your legs, right?
Yeah. So as a man in my middle age,
mm-hmm,
my recovery from exercise is not as rapid, right?
Right.
And so I ran a 2-hour run yesterday. Typically the long runs for my training plan are like on Sundays or sometime in the weekend. So I ran a 2-hour run, did not sufficiently hydrate during that run, which that is a huge lesson I've learned, is anything over 90 minutes, got to be drinking water during the run.
While you're running.
While running.
Okay.
Because I ran a half marathon the weekend prior and felt better than I did during the 2-hour run, which was shorter. But it was because I was drinking water during the other one.
Huh.
So anyway, to your point, I sent you a picture yesterday of my bathtub half full of water with ice floating in the bathtub. Because, yeah, I did a cold plunge to try and help the recovery of my legs. I don't know if it's working. But I mean, I think it's helping.
Do you put the salt in there with it too?
Salt? No.
Are, yeah, like, supposed to salt, like Epsom it? Salt?
Like salt water?
Like Epsom salt.
Like a salt water bath?
You know, Epsom salt.
Epsom? I've heard of that. I don't know if I have that in my house.
I wonder if you're supposed to mix the Epsom salt with ice, because, you know, that's how you make ice cream, is you like, you put the ice on the salt on the ice, and then it makes the ice colder.
Bath salt,
right?
I don't think I need the ice colder because it's cold.
Yeah,
when I get in that water,
I know. Goodness! But I think the salt is supposed to help with some of the healing properties of the water.
The electrolytes.
Yeah, mm-hmm, the electrolytes, as Champ Champ
electrolytes
mentions in
yeah,
chat.
Yeah. So yeah, I submerged the lower half of my body in the freezing cold water for like 6 minutes. I don't know if that's enough time. I don't know if I have to do it longer. But I was getting used to it. So yeah, I did that.
Good.
And then half of my body was red. So I don't know if that's a good thing. But then I ran today and my legs feel good.
That's
so
good. That's good.
Yeah.
I mean,
recovery. Yay.
Yeah, I'll give it a shot. It's kind of like red, like half of my face right now. As I'm looking at myself on the camera, it's like one side is much redder. it's like a weird contrast. Like I put a filter on and it's like, no, you know what? Let's go more black and white on one side of your face.
You almost do have a little bit of like a two-faced look going on.
Yeah.
You know, which you can only catch If you go to twitch.tv/apatheticenthusiasm or youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm.
Yeah, I'll tell you why it is because it's not my Hue lights aren't hooked up because I took them off the Ethernet so I can plug my TV into the Ethernet. That's the thing.
You had to unplug your lights so you could plug your TV into the internet?
The receiver for, okay, let's talk about Hue lights for a second. The Hue light receiver, right, connects to your router so that your lights can have the Wi-Fi. Well, the receiver for it is only Ethernet, so it has to plug in directly to the router. My router right now only has one Ethernet out because it's the, you know, Cox or Comcast's router /modem, whatever. So I can either attach it to my Xbox, or I can attach it to my TV, or I can attach it to my Hue lighting. Well, my TV was having some issues the other day where it wouldn't connect to the network and it was pissing me off. So I said, fuck it. I'm going to attach the Ethernet.
I'm unplugging these lights.
I don't need to look good on a stream. I could look like a two-face and be okay with it. Clearly, yeah. I'm not because I'm talking about it.
Because we spent the last 5 minutes discussing
it. I'm going to buy a router. Okay.
Okay. Good for you. Peace Among Ricks in the chat on Twitch saying, I have a client literally obsessed with ice baths because he gets a, quote, dopamine hit. I have not experienced this. I have not experienced this dopamine hit. Mostly, I experience this. I experience... and then I sit there.
Honey, are you okay?
and then I sit there and I go, hopefully my legs don't fall off. And then I look at my phone for like 5 minutes. And I'm like, that seems long enough. And then I go take a shower.
do you get a dopamine hit? Do you feel like running? Do you feel like that's something you get? Sorry, we're laughing at Champ Champ saying, for the listeners, he's miming something. He's miming being cold.
Yeah.
Just in case you don't know that.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I've got to get a dopamine hit or the runner's high that they talk about. But I think for me, it's probably a real mellow high. And it's often in direct confrontation with, oh gosh, this sucks. Oh, why am I still doing this?
It's akin to like taking a tablespoon of Pepto Bismol, right? It's like, oh, it's like a real mellow high.
Yeah. Have you tried the pink drink? It's a real chill high.
I can go for some Tums right now.
I never touch this stuff. I feel like running maybe like if you're running over 2 miles, I think I tend to get into a rhythm where I can kind of like get into a rhythm and feel like I'm gliding a little bit more than like putting in the work. There's a period there, and I think it lasts longer the longer I train, where it's like, oh, I'm just going, and I'll catch myself running faster than my intended pace sometimes, because like my body just gets used to, oh, we're running now. But where that stopped is this last weekend when I like wasn't hydrating effectively during the run and stuff like that.
You weren't hydrating professionally.
So then it turns into, oh, okay, my body's not getting the stuff that it needs.
Yeah.
So I will try to hydrate better and things as I run.
I can safely say it's never happened, and I don't know what they're talking about. But what I can say is that when I'm stressed and when things are seeming like I can't handle them, going for a run to, like, I don't know, maybe it takes me away from technology. Maybe it takes me away from what I'm familiar with and be like now I have to struggle with something that I'm like pushing myself in, that like it takes that off. Right. So maybe in that sense, being mindful of what we are, as Coach Bennett talks about.
On your next starting line.
Okay. And speaking of seeing you, right. let's get into the actual show. So go ahead and mark it 15 minutes. We're talking today about a few different things, all involving Pedro Pascal. And so let's go ahead and start with the thing that everybody wants to talk about. It's like it's on the tip of everyone's tongue. It is
those TikTok fan videos.
Yeah. No, you know what it is the unbearable weight of massive talent. It's a 2022 film starring Nicolas Cage and Pedro Pascal. Let's go ahead and talk about that for a minute, Travis, because I know you watched it in preparation for this podcast.
Yeah, I definitely missed that one.
And you knew that I was going to talk about it. We had this conversation.
Is it available for streaming anyway?
It is, as a matter of fact. It is available for streaming. I'll just talk about it real briefly. That's a joke. Travis has zero idea what I'm talking about. And for
I've seen the trailer.
No, of course.
I haven't watched the movie.
But for the listeners, Travis was miming not knowing that I was going to talk about that movie. So that movie, real quick, since we're on the Pascal train, it's a good movie. Nicolas Cage plays himself, and he gets an invite to an island where his biggest fan wants to talk to him and hang out with him. And that biggest fan is associated with drug dealing. He may be a cartel leader. So that's who Pedro Pascal is in that movie. It's really good. And there's some gifs out there that with them looking at each other. So yeah, great.
That was the one thing I was going to say is the one takeaway I have from that movie is all the memes where Nicolas Cage is like turning around looking like almost disgusted, and then you have the cut like to Pedro Pascal and his head's like back in the wind, he's just like smiling all huge and stuff. And because my algorithms are all jacked up with Disney Parks content, it's always like taking your friend on your favorite ride at Epcot, and it's like Living with the Land or something. And Nicolas Cage then it cuts to Pedro Pascal, and he's just like loving every minute of, you know, learning about how they grow vegetables at Epcot.
It's like showing your friends your favorite funny YouTube videos and then just watching them watch it.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Exactly. Perfect. So that movie's good. I do recommend it. Nicolas Cage is good in it. Pascal is also wonderful. But that's not really what we want to talk about today. We want to talk about two different things starring him. Let's go ahead and start with, what do we want to start with? Let's start with the Mandalorian, since that just came back out.
Mando. I should have worn my Mandalorian socks.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
So Mando's back. The third season of The Mandalorian is now streaming on Disney Plus. I would say third season. The first episode of the third season has premiered. Mando is back. Grogu is back. loving the comments in the chat. But yeah, so I was pretty excited that the show was coming back. I feel like Mandalorian, really a lot of the Disney Plus Star Wars shows in general, Obi-Wan, Andor, we've talked about them a lot, have been some of the best Star Wars content as of late. And so I was like excited for Mandalorian to come back. And I like watched it as soon as I got home. And then I texted you and I was like, hey, Mandalorian, you want to watch that? You're going to watch? And I think your response to me was, ugh.
That may have been.
So I'm curious, what were you not excited about? Or I mean, I think we've had this conversation a few times, but you weren't excited going into it, but you did actually watch the episode. I don't know. What were your thoughts?
I did watch the episode. I had some free time this weekend, and in between watching Skinamarink, playing No Man's Sky, doing a few different things. And so I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Like I'll watch it. I'll watch it. Chelsea and the kid don't want to watch it. So I'll watch it. And maybe they did want to watch it, but I didn't ask them. They were actually gone. They were at her parents. Doesn't matter. And by the way, to the listener, Travis has Grogu in his hands right now. Doing a lot of audio descriptions.
A lot of visual stuff for this impaired audio media today.
So I did watch it. My initial reaction was like, oh, Mandalorian's coming back. That wasn't my reaction. That's other people's reaction. And my reaction being like, I'm so surprised. Oh, I'm so excited. I think that, like, I enjoyed the end of season two of The Mandalorian. I guess going back to the first season, I watched a couple episodes and it seemed to drag a little bit for me to where I'm like, okay, I'll go ahead and skip to the finale. Then that feeling kind of kept over into season two. I watched maybe an episode or two, and then I kind of skipped towards the end. And then when like the fan service kicked into high gear, and then Book of Boba Fett came out, and you know how I feel about Book of Boba Fett. It's just, yeah, it's not a good show. And I felt that it was very disingenuous, or I don't know what the right word is to throw in Mandalorian season three preview into like a main episode of the show. I just felt like, no, this is a Book of Boba Fett. Why are we talking about why do you have an episode dedicated to him? So which would probably explain why Grogu is back in his arms for the beginning of the season. But then that makes me think like, well, why don't you have that be an episode of the actual season of The Mandalorian season three? Anyways, now the season actually starts. Here I am. And you're like, ooh, it's okay. It was an okay episode. Like,
I was like, it was all right.
It was all right.
Yeah.
Like, so nothing revelatory. Like, yeah. Just okay. Pirates.
There were pirates. And in the chat saying that they felt like they're spoon feeding us plot for the season a little bit. I do agree. I think this premiere episode was a lot of setup and a lot of, all right, let's establish what the story is for this season and then take, you know, 10 more episodes or whatever to actually play out that. So we are introduced to pirates. We have not had space pirates in Mandalorian thus far, especially green, leafy, bearded pirate captains. But I will say the fight sequence with the space pirates was probably, I mean, one of the coolest parts of the episode. I thought that the space battle was pretty cool. I thought there was a lot of fan service in this episode. The arguably cutest characters from the sequel trilogy, the Babu Frick race of aliens that that are good with repairing droids. Now we got like five of them that all work together on this planet. So
cute. Cute little bastards.
It's broken. It's broke. So can't fix it. And then like Grogu's trying to like hug him or something, or I don't even remember what he's doing. But
I want to make a quick aside, a shout out to the Twitch chat. It was very distracting. Whether it's Matt Sizemore or John Caulfield there in the Twitch chat, they're just making jokes. A joke a second. That's how rapid fire it is with the Twitch chat. And I'm gonna ignore it now.
Look away from that.
So this first episode, yeah, I watched it. I thought it was okay. To your point, Peace Among Rick's point, yeah, like it felt very exposition. It was just saying like, this is what the season's gonna be about. It felt like a pilot episode in the sense it was like, here's everything you need to know about like the threads that we're gonna pull throughout the season. Which is like, to me, that feels like when a new show comes out. And the first episode of a new show is always like, here's everything that's going to happen over. This is what the show's about. And just like hitting you over the head with it. That's kind of how I felt about like, oh, look, there's Starbuck from Battlestar Galactica again. I forget her character's name. Sorry. Space Pirates. Oh, there's a thing. Oh, he's trying to redeem himself in the eyes of the Mandalorian to get the sacred water. Oh, cool. Well, I know what to expect now.
They're going to bring that robot back from season one as soon as they get all the parts. Looks like Mando's going on another quest to get things. It's a great show. Phenomenal show. Visually fantastic. I don't know. I miss Andor.
I think that's what I said to you. I think that's what we agree on is Mandalorian is like adventure. It feels fairly low stakes. Like, you know, nothing's really going to happen to him. Tragedy's not really going to affect him all that much.
Mando's kind of like the maybe preteen level of Star Wars, right? Yeah. Where it's like, it's really accessible. It's not overly complex. It's not dealing with like galactic Senate politics or anything like that, right? You're not dealing with, you know, trade embargoes and, you know, anything like that. It's like, all right, let's get to the point. Mando's got a fast ship. It's got a bubble for Grogu. He needs to go bathe in the wells, the secret wells, so that he can have his honor again. This is the way.
It is.
And then,
you know, Mandalorian is the goosebumps to Andor's Pride and Prejudice. I don't know. they're for different audiences. Mandalorian is much more fantasy, where Andor is. It takes place in a fantasy sci-fi world, but it's not really too deep down into that. It's more of like a social commentary wrapped up into like, oh, also we're in Star Wars, you know, Star Wars land over at Disney, California.
Yeah. Batuu, Galaxy's Edge, where you can meet the Mandalorian and Grogu. Appearing now on both coasts.
And Cassian Andor, even though technically he's supposed to be dead at that point in time.
Did they have a Cassian Andor character? I'm like, I don't think they had an Andor character at either park.
You know, that's really digging in bastardizing the integrity of the Star Wars property if they have Diego Luna lookalike in there.
I mean, they do it in California with all the Marvel characters. But
what do you mean they do it in California? Why is Andor in Marvel Land?
No, they have. Oh, jeez. Okay, so Mando, it's back. It's all right. Watch it. or don't. You can't see Pedro Pascal's face in it, so
otherwise he has to go on another quest.
Yeah, otherwise he's got to, you know, bathe in the waters again. They could be poisonous. We'll see. Stay tuned.
Find
for
out
next week's Mandalorian.
You know what it did? What the episode did? Normally, at the beginning of a season, it'll show the episode, and then after the episode, it'll be like, this season on The Mandalorian. And it'll show a bunch of clips about like what you can expect. And yeah. Instead,
that was just the first episode.
That was the episode. That's all it was. Anyway, it was okay. You go check it out. You tell us what you think.
Bold prediction time. Will Grogu wield the Darksaber?
I think Grogu is the Darksaber. And he time travels.
Oh. Hot take. And you heard it here on Apathetic Enthusiasm. Make sure to let us know what you think. Go to our Instagram, apathetic_enthusiasm. All right, let's talk about a good show. Pedro Pascal, very busy because he's in another show on HBO Max called The Great American Barbecue Cookoff.
Yeah, let's talk about it. There's a guy on there. Here's what... I do want to talk about that real quick. This is a real quick aside.
I'll make a little
note.
We're going to talk about The Last of Us at the end of this episode. If you are not caught up on The Last of Us, we'll save it for the end.
I'm going to talk about it real quick. Competition shows are not my bag. They're not really what I stick with. I like Holy Moly because that's a fun show.
Phenomenal.
And there's not this like fake machismo or like, oh, and then like drama, they're building a drama with everything. Like, oh, my dog only has one leg, but it's got a tumor in it. And it might grow into another dog that I don't like type of drama. Right. So I tend to not enjoy those things. But Sunday or Saturday, before I went to my run, I was gonna barbecue a tri-tip, right? I was gonna smoke myself a tri-tip. And I'm like, you know, I'm in the mood for some finding more about barbecue. And on Netflix there was a show like Great American Barbecue Cookout or something like that. And I'm like, you know, I'll watch it. I'm in a barbecue mood. It's a competition show, but you know, whatever. And so I watched the first episode and there was a guy on there that I was like, oh, this guy's like very down to earth. He's from Georgia. He's an IT guy. And I was like, you know what? I want him to succeed. I want him to go to the end. And there was a really, really annoying woman on there that was like everything. She was complaining about everything. She's like, oh, make excuses about like, I usually have more time than this. Oh, I forgot this. Oh, I usually have more time for this. Oh no, I don't know if I'm doing this right. Oh, I want to beat everybody. Oh no, I forgot something else, right? I'm like, God, she's annoying. After I finished that episode, I wanted to know what happened. And this is where I realized that I'm okay with competition shows if I watch the first episode and I watch the last episode. That is it. That is my solution to my problem.
This is the perfect example of Brandon's consumption of pop culture. Is he's like, I don't need all of the ins and outs. I don't need the emotional drama. I just want to know how it starts and tell me how it ends. If I have to read the Wikipedia on it, I will. But I just give me in, give me out.
And if the summary is good enough, I'll go back and watch the rest of it. I'll go experience the rest of it if it is worth that journey.
Which is a serious, you know, throwing down the gauntlet to all Wikipedia contributors that if you feel like Brandon should really go enjoy something, you better be compelling in that article you write about it.
That's right. Yeah. Well, to summarize that experience, the guy I liked made it to the end. Made it to the final episode. The woman I did not like made it to the final episode as well, just between the two of them. And as soon as the episode started, I'm like, and she's going to win. And she won. So now I follow that guy on Twitter because I was like, hey, I was right about him. He's a good dude. So down to earth. Love him. I'll get that name for you, everybody. So you can go follow him on Twitter as well. He's from Georgia. You know, he's a gentleman barbecuer.
You ever watch the Great British Baking Show?
Yeah, Chelsea watches it, and I catch glimpses of it, like, you know, little clips here and there.
It's fun. Have you ever seen the show Taskmaster? I think we probably talked about this during the COVID years.
Taskmaster. I'd heard about it. Yeah.
British game show, where they have a bunch of comedians on there and they have them do random tasks, and then whoever performs the best in an episode wins the episode. But they have the same like four people on for a whole season.
Mm-hmm.
You can watch like seasons of it, full episodes on YouTube. Very enjoyable. Love that show.
Let me just go ahead and throw this out there for everybody. If you want to know who came in second place, it's Rashid Phillips. You can follow him at Rashid Phillips on Twitter. He was just such
That's
a
right. getting that a, AE bump.
Just such Twitter. A nice guy. Just a nice guy. He's a gentleman smoker, owner of Phillips Barbecue Co., host of Entro Podcast. You can find him in Lawrenceville, Georgia. But yeah, just great. We should talk about him more. We should have him on the show. Rashid, I know you're listening.
Our first guest in 6 years.
I do, seriously though, I do want to just, I don't know what it was. You like in a show full of people that are like, woo, ah, yeah. He was just like, you know, I was born in Jamaica and I like cooking.
Making barbecue.
I'm an IT guy from I'm like, yeah, right on, man. I'm behind you 100%.
It's the embodiment of Brandon's essence on a competition reality show.
Yeah.
No, you'd be like, ooh, hey, everybody. No. And then you'd be like passed out in the back after each episode, like, oh, it's too much interaction with people.
Oh my gosh. Oh my god. The final episode of that show was there was like an overnight barbecue, and they had to make their own grill pit, and then they had to like smoke a whole hog, and they said whole hog like 40 times. And it was like from like 3 PM till like 8 or 9 the next morning, and they were up all night long, and whoo, you know, and then they smoked a brisket.
I'm like, have I watched the show?
You may have, but I'll say this. I didn't smoke a tri-tip that night because I kept it in my fridge too long, and it was going bad, and I regret that.
So depressing.
I sincerely apologize to the tri-tip makers of America.
I really wonder if I watched this. Yeah, I think I did watch this. That's a good show. This came out like a long time ago. I thought it was new.
No, it came out in 2020, and like the new season is like, I think coming out next year sometime.
Yeah, I know 100% what you're talking about, and
he was so down to earth, right? Like he's just like
absolutely
like every episode. I'm like the two episodes I watched. I'm like, huh? Look, he's not like bragging, and like even when he lost, you know, in like the post loss interview, he was like, you know, she's been to a lot of competitions, and like, yeah, like I'm happy I came in second place to her because she deserves to be the number one spot. Like,
Brandon, I'm gonna tell you that I'm gonna tell you what, as I'm now realizing, the only person on this podcast that's watched this entire season, I recommend you go back and watch some of the other episodes. They're good. They throw some interesting ideas. Some interesting concepts at these.
I'm not going to do it.
These pit masters.
Not going to do it. I already know that. I know the ending. I'm just going to reach out to Rashid and be his best friend. Him and Ryan Elder going to be best friends. We're all going to hang out.
Best friends. You, Ryan Elder, can eat barbecue with Rashid. Is that what you said?
Rashid Phillips.
Cool. Let's talk about The Last of Us because it's the best thing going on television right now. And you can't convince me otherwise.
Okay, I will try not to. Yeah, The Last of Us, based off of a video game, Halo, came out Came out on the Nintendo 64 originally, way back in 1889 is when Nintendo was formed. And that's when they came out with their original concept for Halo.
Instead of playing cards.
The Halo playing cards. So the last of it, we talked about it briefly. I don't know if we talked about it on our last episode. It was in our show notes. I think we may have mentioned it.
We probably did.
We had to have, but we'll talk about it a little bit more because we're now leading into the season finale, which will be next week after the airing of this podcast episode. And so I want to just kind of gauge your sense, what your feelings are on the season so far. And the kind of twists, the turns, the character developments, and the violence, and being in a post-apocalyptic world, Travis.
I want to preface this conversation with some level setting here. So I never played The Last of Us video game, nor did I look into much information about the game or anything. You did play The Last of Us video game, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Not all of it.
Okay. Yeah.
I started it up. I got at my first save point, and then I deleted it. I said, no, I'm not going to have any of this. Just kidding. No, I played through some of it, but I wasn't able to finish it.
All right. Well, so my expectation going into the show was yet another post-apocalyptic zombie type show where you're going to have, as we saw relatively early on in the show, a very unique concept about zombies and the, I don't know, the bio, like fungal infection and how that spreads and
the cordyceps.
Cordyceps. Yeah, those things. I thought it was a really unique and interesting idea. And I thought that the premise of the show overall was really cool. Watching the premiere, I was like, this is outstandingly produced television. I thought that the individual performances were great. And that has not wavered since you know, 8 episodes have gone by now. And I continue to think every episode is really good. It's a really compelling story. And it is definitely not your typical zombie show where, I mean, a lot of episodes have like no zombies or no undead. Maybe it'll have like a quick, like you see one stuck to a wall or something. But for the most part, it's less about like you'd see in a Walking Dead where they're just constantly trying to get away from zombies and more really about the people and what it's like to live, you know, in that sort of environment and how people, the different ways that people choose to survive and how all of humanity is sucky. So that's my general takeaway from it. I don't know. What are you thinking as you watch?
I think going back to some of the things you said, I watched World War Z maybe last weekend. And I hadn't seen that in a while. It's a Brad Pitt movie based off of a book by Max Brooks. And whereas in the book, World War Z, it's really cool way they tell the story. It's like all it's like found in diaries. It's somebody who's talking about the apocalypse after it's happened. Everything's fixed now, essentially. And they're just doing like an oral history of like where it came from and what happened to fix everything. And then World War Z came out and then it was like a typical zombie movie.
Yeah.
Although it was like if you go to a trailer of World War Z, you'll see where there's just like so many zombies like running on top of each other and like piling up and swarming against the walls of I think it's like Jerusalem or something like that. And So that's kind of what you think of when you think of zombie movies. Like, you think of all these zombies and they're always attacking. George Romero, his zombie films, slow moving zombies, the zombies were always a threat. They're always there, but it has always ended up being about the people. And so Night of the Living Dead, it's about the people in there. And there's just this external threat that is forcing them into a smaller area and having to deal with these social issues. Same thing with like Dawn of the Dead, like kind of commercialism, and then Day of the Dead, where they're like talking about like military and all that stuff. What Last of Us does is, like, yes, that external threat is there. It's always a threat, but it's not as much of a threat as the people who are, like, it focuses way more on the how the people are the threat.
Yeah.
The cordyceps that has created something to like revolutionize like fascism in the day and age. And then that's where the fear comes from, people becoming who they always were. So I think we'll see some of that in Joel. Like, we've seen some of that in Joel throughout the series, hinted at, like, he was a good dad, and then he turned into some kind of monster behind the scenes, enough that his brother wants to leave him, and things that he's ashamed of. So, and then we'll see how Ellie also kind of evolves through that.
Yeah.
Champ talking about in the game, the corgi scents were pretty deadly. I think that's the thing. They fight a lot of humans in the game. They also fight a lot of more of the zombie type of things. But we tend to see more of the fighting of other humans in the show.
Yeah.
Mostly probably because humans talk, and you can explore humanity of humans more than you can explore the inhumanity of a fungus growing and doing little spores out of the mouths.
And I think when you consider the mechanics of a video game, right, you have to have something for the players to do, and you probably, like, as you're navigating between places and stuff, you need to have, you know, some action and some gameplay and things like that. Where, yeah, so even if it is a very story driven game, it becomes like a Telltale game if you just show a story and are asked to press A every once in a while. Like,
what I really like about the show is you've probably read things about it so far where they say it's just a really good adaptation of a game, like one of the best adaptations of a game. And I tend to agree with it. There have been good adaptations of games, of course. As far as the series goes, like, this has, like, I watched the Resident Evil series on Netflix, and like, you share some of the same names of characters, but you're not really adapting the games. You're taking the property and adopting some things, but saying fuck it to the other things.
Moving in its own direction.
Yeah. With The Last of Us, it's taking some of like the major milestones, the major moments of the game, and it's adapting them in a way where it's keeping the core spirit of some of those moments, but making it its own thing. So it is an adaptation of the game, but it's taking its own spin, but still sticking to the overall story of what's going to happen. We know that season one of The Last of Us is basically the first game. It is The Last of Us Part One. And then the second season is going to be The Last of Us Part Two, which is the second game. So I think it's doing a pretty damn good job of that. I mean, some people's mileage may vary. You have not played the game. I know that Sheena has now read all about the game, so she knows what's going to happen in the season finale.
She stumbled upon some spoilers, and that's her problem. She gets to live with that, and I will not allow her to speak to me for the next week. That is that is where we are in our relationship, and I think we're both fine with it.
I want to ask, and maybe you can answer this question to close it out. So you don't have to answer it yet, if you have more to talk about. But what do you think is going to happen in the season finale?
They all turn into mushroom heads.
And they just like the moon, June and spring.
Yeah, like it turns into a musical, I think, is what happens. I was gonna ask about sort of that contrast between like your expectations as a person that's played the game or has read up on how the game ends. Has the show lived up to what you expected from what you've played, or do you have any gripes or concerns because something doesn't like match up with what you saw?
You didn't answer my question. How are you gonna answer?
I know you said I could save it for the end.
Oh, okay. All right, you're playing that card. Okay, you're playing that card. Yes. It's to the expectation that I'm like, okay, let me go ahead and find the time to go back and play through it again. Not again, but play through it all the way this time. I know what happens, much in the same way that I know what happens in Fight Club and Goodfellas and The Departed and any other movie that I've seen hundreds of times. But it's a story that I'm good with revisiting and would want to revisit. So I think the show, I think some properties might, when you watch it, you're like, ugh, well, now I'm done with this property, this IP, because this new thing kind of tainted my view of it. The show doesn't do that for the game.
I feel like there was maybe it was like a Reddit post or something, where it was saying that the lead actress, Bella Ramsey, was talking about the finale potentially like polarizing audiences. And I'm curious if that is a hint to them maybe doing something different from the game. And so that maybe creating two sort of sides where like people are like, oh no, the show is great, but the ending was awful because they didn't do what the game did. And then there's a bunch of people that are not going to know any better. And they're like, yeah, it's good. It's fine. That could be the case. They could follow it exactly. And people just don't like how that ends or what's going on.
If you know anything about the controversy with when The Last of Us 2 came out on the PlayStation, there was a lot of people that were pissed off about The Last of Us 2 in perspectives and players or characters that you end up playing as. And so there's a lot of negativity there for that. And so I wonder if Bella Ramsey is speaking specifically to television audiences who've never seen or have known nothing about the video games, or she's talking about the fans of the video games being like, oh no, it's different than what you're going to expect, what you'd see in the game itself.
Yeah. So. All right. We're closing out with Travis's predictions for the end of The Last of Us. Here's where my head's at. All right. We've got a story arc where two strangers who were forced together against their will almost to an unlikely pair have grown over time to not only trust each other, but to care for each other and look out for each other. They're more than just acquaintances now. They're almost like family. And what the most recent episode has shown us is that these are violent times, and someone like Ellie is going to have to face that violence. and to respond to it. And and I'm stalling for time. And
yeah.
So I think there is going to be some sort of tragic event that causes them to be separated.
There's going
to
be a waiting room, and you know it's going to turn out that they were all dead the entire time for the entire series.
Yeah. So there's a church, and and when you put the cork back in the island, then the smoke monster goes away. And so I think what's going to happen is, I think there's going to be something that splits them up. I'll say that.
Okay.
I think they're going to be split up.
All right. Yeah. I think that, they're going to elect a Cordyceps the president. Yeah.
And then the rest of the show is just like an Idiocracy reboot. It's
the West
really
Wing,
bizarre.
But one of the Cordyceps is like, and everyone's like, yeah.
The real Last of Us was the friends we made along the way. Thanks, John. Thanks.
That's
some good magic.
That's our kind of coverage of the Last of Us. We might mention it next time we do a podcast, just to kind of follow up with this conversation. But let us know what you think. Head over to Apathusiast over on Twitter and shoot us a note, Instagram, wherever, and let us know what you think. Any of your predictions, or apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com. You can shoot us something there. Much more verbose you can be on email. It turns out there's no limit to the amount of characters you can put in an email. Versus
so many characters.
But yeah, that is The Last of Us. Travis, I have some breaking news for you. I saw this on doop. As I was going through, I wasn't going through Twitter, but I just happened to
you were scrolling through Twitter while I was talking because you were looking up your barbecue boy.
That's right. Rashid Phillips on Twitter. This is breaking news. Tom Brady might unretire. He might unretire again. That's the rumor we're hearing. Here's what it says from sportsillustrated.com. Patriots news, Tom Brady rumor blew mind. This one just blew my mind, Rich Eisen says, the NFL Network anchor, suggesting the Patriots and NFL GOAT might sign with, who's your guess they might sign with?
Who needs a quarterback? I was gonna say New Orleans, but I think they just got Derek Carr. I'll just say Washington Commanders.
Okay. I'll give you a hint, because that's wrong. It is someplace that he lives currently, and one of the state he lives currently.
The Rams?
He doesn't live in California.
Does he live in Florida?
He's a Florida boy. Which means
not the Dolphins.
Which means Eisen then named the Dolphins, a chief rival of the Pats in AFC West, as the potential destination. And let me tell you. As a Dolphins fan, a lifelong Dolphins fan since Ace Ventura broke onto the scene,
I love that bit of backstory for you, by the way.
I don't want Tom Brady on the Dolphins. I don't need him. I don't want him. I don't care if he's still great. I don't care. I don't care if Tua retires tomorrow and he's like, you know what? I have had too many concussions. I'm gone. And then our backup goes away, and like, we don't have any quarterback. You know what? Let's just give it to Tyreek Hill, and he's just going to run the entire time. I'm cool with that. I don't need Tom Brady. And
tell you what, Garage Dolphins are going wild in the chat about this idea. So, I say we continue this conversation over in the post show. We are going to do our Twitch only post show. Soon to be available also on our Patreon. So if you cannot make it for the Monday night live stream, head over to patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. And if you're a patron, we will start posting some of our post shows in posts on Patreon. So we'll talk about Dolphins and people that can't stay retired and all sorts of other things right over there. Thank you to everybody that joined us for this episode. Thank you if you listened, if you downloaded, if you have subscribed, liked this episode over on YouTube. But which one of the best things you can do is leave a review. So if you're new here, let us know what you think, and we appreciate it.
And until next time, Travis, I am Brandon.
And Brandon, I am Travis.
And this was Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Bye.